Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 364th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast, and we're doing it on Blab tonight.
Doing it on Blab. Hey, it's Andy.
Yep, blabbing it up. This is Kurt.
And joining us, returning guest. You now have that role.
The blabicality of this blabbiness is blabtastic.
Thank you.
Don't you guys think he earns the role of returning guest?
Oh yeah, because he's been on before.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like the most impersonal cold
and returning guest.
Mike. Now I was thinking about this, Michael. I always call you on the podcast. I call you Michael from Galesburg.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You okay?
I think that's fine. Especially like there's probably like five or six other Michaels or Mikes
in the world.
No, I mean that you talk about on your podcast. I understand, Corey. There's other Michaels in the world, but I mean that you specifically talk about on your podcast. I think this is easier to differentiate.
Like Michael Brenly.
Yeah. Things like that. Wasn't the one from Denver? There's another one.
Right. Michael from
Colorado. Yeah. So this is easier. It differentiates. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So you're okay with the Galesburg attachment.
Fine.
Okay. And Michael, you do a podcast.
It's the Awesome 80s podcast. We talked about a dream podcast someday. I don't know if it's ever going to come to fruition. But we could talk about the 80s and how it appeals to the Chicago Cubs. But maybe if it happens, it happens. But I mean, the passion in my life is the 1980s. And we do a podcast at theawesome80s.com. We do probably, everyone likes to say they do a podcast every week, but in reality, it's probably three times a month where we do, we just talk about 80s pop culture and 80s movies, but mostly 80s movies. We watch the worst movies of all times and try to be hilarious.
That's a good description.
Thank you.
What was your last episode?
We talked about the Cubs.
Has that one been published yet?
No,
I saw it on Google.
I haven't put it out yet. We have a teenage daughter at our house, and she doesn't like doing her homework.
Oh.
And it's been stress. It's a stressor.
Right. In addition to a baby.
In addition to a new, brand new baby.
Sounds stressful.
You are forgiven.
Yeah.
I have an 8-year-old that acts like a teenager. She does her homework.
I'm so mature, Dad. Jeez.
All right, so this is probably my favorite episode that we do throughout the year, and it's when we look back at the season predictions that we made at the beginning of the Cubs season.
You like to look back and see how bad you guys are, how horrible you are as Cub fans.
Well, and
I
especially
think it's our favorite because it's essentially another week off.
Okay,
that's personally.
You mean I don't have to do anything? All right, sweet.
Just listen to Michael tell us how terrible we were.
Kurt, you usually do the best though. I think.
Yeah. Returning champion.
I think, I listened to the episode today, the prediction episode, and I think I got you guys. So we'll see. I didn't actually, I kind of had, it was the mental tally, you know. How
I got them there.
And I was like Googling things on my phone while I'm listening. So I don't know. I think it's actually going to be closer than previous years, but we'll see. But Andy did make some good predictions, so we'll get to those.
Yeah, I'm surprised you went back and listened. You kind of like ruined the surprise.
Well, no, because I don't know. Well, it's like, you know, Christmas and you have the present under the tree and I opened it.
We all know you're the best, Kurt.
Right.
You at least shook it. You didn't fully open it.
Well, it's like,
you ever do that thing when your kid reopen one flap, you know, and then kind of see if you can see one side of it?
Well, it's all Legos.
Well, I just remember like the G.I. Joes and you would know you had a G.I. Joe underneath the Christmas tree.
Barbie.
But you could tell, you could just like underneath the backpack.
We got a lot of Barbies.
Between the backpack and the actual figure, you could just kind of break that open a little bit and see what the name was. Like, all right, I just wanted to see. All right, now put that back.
I didn't realize that listening to the episode was such taboo, so I won't do it again. I'm sorry.
Remember that a year from now.
Never again.
How dare you?
So since this is an off-season episode and we're already off to a slow start, what are you guys drinking?
Some kind of wine. I have no idea what it is.
Going to be drinking some wine later when you lose in the predictions. I'm drinking a Jubilee Ale from Deschutes.
Oh.
Pretty good.
Is it?
That's what I said. you heard me.
Michael and I are drinking this is a bottle, I believe. I'm not sure where I got this.
Not from Chris.
I think Chris maybe gave us this one, or
I can't
Chris
believe
gave
you still
us
have beer left from Chris,
or Chris gave us this one, and then when I was in California, I bought another one. that might be what happened. But anyways, this is Alesmith Speedway Stout from Alesmith Brewing Company in San Diego, California. It's good. I like it a lot.
They make good stuff in general. I like their brews.
All right. So before we get into the prediction stuff, though, the looking back on the predictions that we made, we do have a couple of topics that were sent in to us from listeners. We didn't really open it up, but there were a couple that I thought were worth mentioning real quick. So this first one, it was from Twitter, and it's from at FFEJ17, who we interact with frequently. They said, after listening to this week's podcast, my only question is, why aren't guys like Gleyber Torres, Almora, McKinney, or Caratini in the Arizona Fall League?
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that is that the Fall League is mainly for three reasons, I'd say. It's for making up for injury time. So guys who missed out on repetitions, whether that's batting, pitching, whatever, gives them a chance to get more work in. Also players that could be on the move in trades. It gives the front offices a chance to look at them a little bit more and see what they can do. And also perhaps further development. I know for a fact some of the Cubs pitchers in the Arizona Fall League are focusing on particular pitches. So that's another reason why they're down there. So as you look through the list of Cubs prospects that are down there, a lot of those guys did have an injury this season, or there was some factor that limited the amount of games that they played in. And so those guys that FFEJ listed, Torres, Almora, McKinney, and Caratini, all had big sample sizes. I mean, they played full seasons for their respective teams. And I'm guessing that it was, you know, it's one of those things I think they have to really consider is it worth the, you know, the potential burnout to have a guy continue to grind it out in the Arizona Fall League, or is it time for him to rest for now? And my guess is with those guys that had, you know, a lot of these guys had well over 400 at bats that he listed, I would say that they just shut them down because they had seen plenty this season.
Right. And yeah. You look at somebody like Almora too, and you might almost be thinking about next year that if potentially he could get called up, you might encounter one of those situations where he's playing more games than he's played in his career. And, you know, you might want to be trying to avoid burnout for next season.
Absolutely.
Did you have anything to add there, Kurt? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, that I think that kind of sums it up. Is for pitchers, you're looking for an innings pitched kind of number, and for offensive, defensive players, you're looking for at-bats. And like Andy said, you're just, a lot of these guys are just trying to hit that number or get another look at them.
Right.
For me, though, it kind of feels like the biggest issue for young players when they reach the big leagues is like, oh, can they make it the whole season? And it's like, you need to gradually do that. And it seems like if you're going to inject this fall league into the young players that already played a full season, then you're going to burn them out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We do have one other question. This comes from Dawn, and she says, can you guys take some time on Sunday's podcast to explain the concept of a qualifying offer and why some teams will offer it and why some teams won't? I know it has something to do with draft comp picks, right? I'm terrible at understanding contract stuff.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, there's a lot of nuances to this, but I'll try to be quick about it because I know some of this will make people just kind of roll their eyes. But so qualifying offers can be offered to anybody who played, a free agent who played the entire season with a team. So Dexter Fowler, for example. This year it was $15.8 million, and that comes from averaging the top 125 player salaries, and that's where you get that number. Once the offer is put out there, the player has 7 days to accept it. To this point, it's a fairly new thing. It's only been around for a few years with the new collective bargaining agreement. This year, a record 20 players received the offer. No one has ever accepted it. This might be the first year. There's a few guys like like a Colby Rasmus or a couple others that have been mentioned that could be in a position to take it, but the likelihood is that players will not take it. And it's sort of, I'll give you a few more details. So teams that sign a free agent who turn down a qualifying offer give up their first round pick if it's outside of the first 10 picks, because those picks are protected. So if you're, you know, 11 through 30 and you sign a Dexter Fowler, you lost your first round pick. So there's some, you know, extra weight to signing a guy like that. And then also the player's former team, the Cubs, if it were Fowler, would receive a compensatory pick at the end of the first round. So it's highly skewed in favor of the club because you want to throw out the qualifying offer. Players are very unlikely to accept it because it's a one-year deal for that, you know, $15.8 million. And the players are more likely to want to maximize their value over a longer term. So Fowler's probably wants, like, let's say he wants 35 for 3 or 4 years, something like that. He'd rather take that $35 million than this $15.8 million for 1 year. So players are looking to maximize value, while clubs have little risk and so we're got a one-year deal for 15.8. So if he takes it, you're like, okay, maybe we're overpaying, but oh well. But it's just for 1 year. And so if he doesn't take it, then they get that compensatory pick at the end of the first round. So it's all, you know, it's in the Cubs' favor to give him this qualifying offer. He'll turn it down, and then we'll see what happens.
All right.
So what chances do you think there is that Fowler's going to actually be on the Cubs roster next year?
Be on the Cubs roster or take the offer? Maybe at zero. There's zero chance he takes the offer. I don't actually know.
He already rejected it.
Yeah. Right. So what happens after that point? The Cubs, is that their offer? Or can they then continue to negotiate for like a longer term deal?
Yeah, they can still try to sign him then as a free agent, as far as I understand.
Yeah, so you're asking, do we think the Cubs?
Yeah, do you think you like April 3rd or whenever opening day?
I don't think Fowler will be on the team.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't either.
I
don't think it's in the Cubs' best interest to sign him to. I mean, it'd be great if they could have him back on a very short term deal, like 1 or maybe 2 years at the most. But I think he can get a 3 year deal somewhere.
He seems like a great 1 year guy that the Cubs picked up last season. So,
yeah, right, it was a good sign.
Well, they traded for him, but yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He was in the Valbuena trade, which I was really disappointed in, you know, Fowler's inability to step in the bat flip category. Because he hit the home runs. You know, you'd think there would have been a little bit of pressure to Valbuena it up in there.
Pick up the bat and just throw it.
Right. All right, so those are our two topics. One thing I almost forgot to mention. So I know that pretty much everybody listening probably knows Danny Rocket. He does the Sun Ranto podcast, and Danny's putting together that Cubs album. And so I'm sure you probably heard the Ivy Ngioni song. We played it here on the podcast a couple times. And we'll play it again. He's writing another song, and he and I talked about it, and we kind of came up with an idea for it. It's basically the idea is being sad that the 2015 season is over and just kind of, you know, how we all kind of felt right afterwards, kind of mopey, I guess, just kind of like bummed that we couldn't turn on the TV or turn on the radio and the Cubs, you know, they just weren't there. And so that's the idea.
Thanks for bringing it up, Corey.
Right. Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So he wrote a song about it, and he's putting together a video to go along with this. And so what he wants is just, anybody that listens to this, you can send this, you can email it to me and then I'll send it on to him, or you can just email it to him directly. And he wants like videos of you in your Cubs gear, jersey, shirt, hat, whatever, and just kind of like going about, I'm not sure exactly how he worded it, but kind of like going about your daily business.
Like vacuuming and dusting.
Right. But like being kind of sad because the Cubs aren't on TV. So I recorded a couple today,
going to the mailbox.
Right. Yeah. One of them that I did today was taking out the garbage and kind of, you know, we have a little bit of a long walk to the road. So it was kind of a long.
That was like 150 feet, man.
I know. That's a long time to think about the 2015 Cubs, which is what I usually do when I take out the garbage.
300 feet total.
Yeah. So, I think it'd be a lot of fun. He wants to, you know, have a bunch of them to include. And so if you have any ideas, just do your thing with Cubs hat or shirt on or something like that. Email it to me and then I'll send it over to him and he's going to kind of work them into the video and everything. So Michael, anybody that's listened to our podcast for a while and has heard you on our podcast, they know that you're in a unique situation in that you're married to someone that is, I would say, as much of a Cardinals fan as you are a Cubs fan. Maybe not quite.
Yeah.
To the obsession that you
we
are.
We talked about it on my previous podcast, theawesome80s.com.
.net.
.net, fine. We own both domains.
Really?
Okay, geez.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
I prefer the .net.
Okay, it's .net. It makes GeoCities. but it's, I think when my wife saw me in 2000, she kind of had like her long con was, so it was like, I'm going to get a baby from that guy. That's my long con. She's like, and I was like, when I first met her, she told me she had season tickets to the Cardinals. I'm like, eventually the Cubs are going to play the Cardinals.
That was your long con.
That's my long con. I'm like,
in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that worked out pretty well this year.
Finally, yeah.
Well, he'd seen Back to the Future, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've seen Back to the Future.
Two.
Wait, is that an 80s movie?
I think it was actually 89 or 90. But, anyway.
I love how everybody thought they were clever about Back to the Future, didn't say Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Like when they brought it up. And Back to the Future, it's
have you seen Back to the Future? No, but I've seen part two.
Especially being like an 80s person, like you guys don't know how much I wanted it to be true. Like, oh my God. Like, it wasn't like I just remembered this year. I've been planning this since like 91, since they announced the Marlins were going to be a National League. Like, they were going to be a Major League team. I'm like, right. The Cubs are going to beat the Marlins to win the World Series in 2000. That's going to happen.
You knew at that time it was going to be great for your podcast.
Exactly. And in 2000, me and my friends, they're big Cub fans, they're big Bears fans, and they're like, we got to bring back Bojo. I know what you're saying, what's Bojo? But when they're in the future in 2015, part of Biff's gang, they call everybody Bojo. You can't go on water, you Bojo. So we just started, we're like, if it's gonna be a thing in 2015, we got to start calling everybody Bojo.
Wow, I do not remember that.
But yeah, my wife's just a big Cardinals fan, and it was she had a big craft fair, and it is like the mob with those craft fairs.
Oh,
like
yeah.
if you don't show up, you get blackballed from other craft fairs. And luckily, it was over the weekend of the Cubs playing the Cardinals, so I could take my friends and not my wife to go see the Cubs play the Cardinals in the playoffs.
So, I think I've only seen Delina like once since the Cubs eliminated the Cardinals in the playoffs.
I wanted to bring this up later, but I'll go ahead and bring it up now. I mean, everyone loves the 84 Cubs. They were one win away from the World Series. Everyone loves the 2003 Cubs. They were one win away from the World Series. But it kind of feels like the high watermark since 1945 was the Cubs beating the Cardinals this year.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, in my lifetime, and maybe it was just so,
we were at one of the games that adds something to it.
Well, a couple of us were at two of the games, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, by the way.
Well, and the construction / makeup of the team, I think, is a factor in how we regard it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just.
So because, like, the 2003 Cubs, how no matter how awesome they were, still feels sort of like a group of mercenaries almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could say that about the 84 team too. Like half, I mean, most of those teams, I mean, you've got the Dodgers, like part of the Dodgers were on this team. Most of the Phillies that won the World Series in 80, they jumped over and they were on the Cubs. You know, there wasn't really the Cubs in the Cubs uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. But I think there was just something special about knocking out the Cardinals. There's just something really satisfying about that. And knocking out a Cardinals team that had what, 100 wins? 101?
Yeah. It was fantastic.
So what was it like living with a Cardinals fan during that series?
It was good times. It was good times. The couch is very comfortable. I could sleep on there for months if I had to.
It was a good sacrifice.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So have you emotionally recovered from, I mean, we've talked about it here on the podcast, but you know, you were there. You were going to go to game 5 with us. Have you kind of emotionally recovered from
I ended up going to game three with my dad, and it was, I mean, I love Montero, but I mean,
of the NLCS.
Of the NLCS. And it was, I don't want to blame anybody, but the ball went through Montero's legs, and that was kind of it at the ballpark. Like, everybody just kind of gave up. I mean, but honestly, I don't think we would have been at that point without Montero. But I mean, where we're at, it just, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to have that experience. But if you look back, I mean, the Mets, they were definitely the better team. And then especially watching some of the Mets play the, because I watched when I came over to your house, I watched that when the Mets played the Royals. That was the extent of the World Series I watched, but and then a little bit more at work. But the Royals were a lot better than the Cubs, and I don't think I could emotionally take it if the Cubs went to the World Series and lost.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of feel like the Cubs, I mean, I don't want to draw a lot of parallels to the Cubs, this year's Cubs and last year's Royals, okay. But the Royals really looked like they knew what they were doing this offseason. And last year there were points, I remember points where they didn't really look like they knew exactly, like the talent was there, but I mean, they, you could tell they were, it was a foreign,
a year away,
right? And it was kind of like a foreign yeah. land to them, you know.
Whoa, we're in the playoffs.
I claim this land for not so fast.
Oh man, I was almost, I mean, you saw that stuff on Facebook, like some people said 300 400 500 800,000 people came and they just left yeah. their cars like it was the Walking Dead. I'm like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. That town, Chicago's gonna shut down.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
It's, I'm just gonna go, my aunt lives in Wicker Park. I can walk from the lake to Wicker Park. It's not going to be that big a deal. I will crash on her couch. I do not care.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very interested in going to the World Series parade. If I ever get to see one. Okay. So let's talk about our preseason predictions. So I didn't, all of the burden was not on Michael this time. I went through and did the first half.
You're Saint Corey. You really are.
Well, Michael was off fighting fire.
Right. We expected him to do all the work for our
honestly, I had a lot of the days requested off for playoffs and World Series. So, I mean, I got a lot of landscaping done recently. So, that's good.
All right. So, let's.
Corey's got to keep you happy. He's within your jurisdiction. Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So, let's look at these predictions. The funny thing is as I was listening to that episode, one of the quotes, one thing I liked you when you have done this episode in the past with us, Michael, mm-hmm. is you've like kind of brought up things that we talked about on that episode. Okay. And, so that was kind of fun to go back and listen to it. And, one of the quotes that stood out to me was how we were kind of talking about how we were moving to two episodes a week. We did that at the beginning of this year because we expected there to be more to talk about with this team. And one of us, I think maybe it was you, Andy, said it's going to be weird to talk about actual game events because for the first six seasons of doing this podcast, we talked a lot about big picture stuff. We talked a lot about these prospects that were on the team this year while they were in the minors. And so it was kind of weird to like, I mean, we've even kind of talked about it recently about how this season was so different for us as a podcast, but it's weird to think that it was just a few months ago, really, that we were in that other mindset, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a quote that stood out to me. Okay, so predictions. The first one here was the date for the Chris Bryant call-up. And
well, in my earlier reference to Andy having a good prediction, I think this was the one that
Andy had one good prediction.
Yeah, this is the one and only.
Right. So Andy,
that Andy really nailed it.
Later on, when I predict David Ross home runs, that'll totally wipe all this out.
So
no, I just thought it. He had some good points.
Right, and I think that we kind of thought Kurt and I went later. Andy went earlier. We thought that it maybe wouldn't be. Right at the deadline, I guess the Super Two or not the Super Two,
the 10-day or right,
the service time date. We thought it would be later. He was actually called up on April 17th, and Andy, you had guessed April 20th, and Kurt and I both picked dates in May, later in May. May, You said May 22nd. I said May 4th.
Point out that the old injury totally skewed this one entirely.
And LaStella.
Yeah.
I don't know if LaStella's really good.
One thing I thought Andy pointed out that was really good was that the front office doesn't care if it's one day after or 5 days after. Like, it's the rules, and that's the rules. So at that point, it doesn't matter. And I was sort of like, well, you know, they don't want to show that that's exactly what they're doing by calling him up right after. And it was pretty clear that when they did call him up that they didn't care about news stories or the MLBPA or any of that. They just,
or the PR side of it.
We still got him. So,
Because it was such a huge deal for those 10 days and towards the end of spring training. And now nobody really thinks about it. It did not at all impact whether or not the Cubs were going to get in the playoffs. I guess you could look and say, well, it could have impacted their ability to get that home game for the wild card game, but that didn't really matter either because they won. So the Cubs get an extra year of control without giving up anything.
I guess as a union member and as a shift steward, I think, Andy, are you also a union member as well?
Yes, I am.
Yes. I think this is definitely seems like something needs to
I'm administrative.
Okay. That's good. No union for that guy.
That guy's a dick.
Get out of town.
I was a union member, but now I'm
But it just seems like something.
I'm the man now.
This needs to be something that needs to be hammered out in labor negotiations, and it doesn't need to be brought up.
Right. And I think that'll change in the
next contract. Let them worry about it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who wants to keep track of scores? When do you guys want to do that?
Kurt,
I can. And I think in that case, Andy gets a point, right?
Yep. Andy.
I mean, I think Andy's that's worth closest. Multiple points. I mean, you guys pick non-rookie of the year campaigns, basically.
I gave you cred.
I know. I appreciate it.
It really wasn't. I mean, as I'm listening, I'm like, wow, he was right on there.
Yeah. The funny thing is, as we were going through these, they all seemed so easy. And so, like they all seemed like common sense.
Yeah, wait till we get to the Baez stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the next one is Chris Bryant home runs. And the over-under was 27, and that was based on the Pecota projections. And the actual number was 26, just one short of that. Andy guessed under. He guessed 26. Nailed it. I guessed under. I guessed 24. And Kurt, you guessed over 31.
And then my optimism.
Right. And Kurt, you also weighed in with the nugget of wisdom, pointing out that Chris Bryant is not Jake Fox.
Yes, I did. Because I don't know which one of you it was. You're like, well, I said something about him hitting 10 or 11 home runs in spring training. You're like, well, so did Jake Fox. All right.
See, Kurt, why do you have to ruin it by listening?
I know. See, all this knowledge is ruining the episode.
Okay, the next one is Chris Bryant home runs off the new Jumbotron, and the over-under was 5.5, and each of us guessed under. As far as I can tell, I think the number was 2. There is not a search in the play index for that statistical category.
I think we can pretty safely say that it was under 5.5.
Right. He did one in May. I believe it was like May 26th or something like that.
Or something like that.
Right. And then he had one in September, right at the end of the season.
Boy, so there was,
and that one was perfect. The 495 foot.
So there's 2 off the left field and 1 off the right field.
Right.
Okay. But that was postseason.
Right. We're going to have to get into that.
That's different. That's different.
Right. Okay, the next one is, so we're on number 4, right? Yes. Number 4 is Major League Baseball games in 2015 played by Javier Baez, and the over-under was 130. So I'll just say right now, the actual amount was 28. however, we each said under. Andy, you said 115 to 120.
You should lose a point for that. Come on.
What did you say?
Kurt said 100. For whatever reason, I didn't give a specific total. I just said under.
I listened to the podcast. You don't give many specifics. You're like, it's under. Don't worry.
That's the safe way to go.
So the next one is, how many runners will Baez strand on base this season?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I think, Andy, you looked, and in 2014, he stranded 106 runners in 229 plate appearances. And we set the over-under at 150, which is really, like, we really kind of messed up because we shouldn't have done a counting stat. We should have done a rate or something or percentage. And I say that because you both said under and I said over. So, but here's something
that kind of get another one.
But here's something that goes along with that. So I looked with no. I think Baez hit what? Didn't he hit like 295 or 305 or something like that on the season?
So you're basically trying to figure out a way to make it so you get
points,
right? Yeah. So
Corey wants his points.
With nobody on, he hit 368. With runners on, not necessarily in scoring position, but just runners on, he hit 211. And with runners in scoring position, he hit 0.048. So I think if you project that out over, let's say, 350 or 400 plate appearances, I think I won. So
because I listened, I have another point I'd like to make, is that I said he will never get the opportunity to strand that many runners. That
right,
if he's that bad that early, because we were looking at the end of the season, just get him some major league experience last year,
right?
And I said this year that if that happens, there's no way he gets the opportunity to strand that many runners, and that he would never get to that point. So, right. Extra point for me. Let's move on.
Okay, number six, Addison Russell's call up, and before or after September 1st? All of us said after.
What?
I thought that was awesome too. Do you think the head office at the Cubs, they violated the rules a little bit as far as like not getting him enough minor league at bats before they brought him into the bigs for Addison Russell?
No.
Okay.
No. And although I would like to say that maybe I should get a point, because if you listen,
because another reason why I should get a point,
because if you
just
listen,
like an administrator, really good at assigning numbers.
If you listen to an episode that was like 2 or 3 weeks later, I said that I thought it was, I was in Las Vegas and I was with Bob. He can verify this. And I said, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they called up Bryant and Russell at the same time. So go ahead and put that.
Did you say that on the podcast?
I think I did.
Okay.
Go ahead and write that down, Kurt. Okay.
I think I did.
So I said, I think, so we all said after September 1st. So
we're all wrong.
But I did say, I said, I saw him.
No, that's the end, right?
No.
What do you mean? Okay, go ahead. What did you
say? There's no gray area. This is all black.
And the actual date of his call up was September 21st, April 21st.
We're off by a couple months. You're still advocating for points.
We're off by 5 months. But it was a bit of a surprise that he was called up.
Yeah.
Especially considering up till now, we had heard the front office say that they wanted
those at bats.
They wanted a full season at AAA. Mm-hmm. And Russell didn't even get much time at AA.
It was a pleasant surprise.
Well, I mean, he's played college ball, though, right?
No.
He hasn't played any college ball.
No, he had played. So he was injured last season. So we only got like 50 or 55 games in at AA.
Well, it makes total sense that Schwarber came up because he played NCAA.
Right, right.
But, I mean, if Addison Russell didn't, they're like, well, throw him in there, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just got done seeing him on a panel at Cubs convention, like down on the farm. I mean, down on the farm, like with Pierce Johnson and Carl Edwards Jr. And,
he's living in somebody's house down on the farm. Right, he's sharing the dryer and washing machine with these random people's house he's living at.
I mean, dueling banjos on the porch and everything. I mean, there's no way this guy's going to be in the majors before September.
Okay, the next one, this is number seven. The first player to hit a home run off the new scoreboard in left field. And it was Chris Bryant, May 26th. Andy said Soler. Kurt, you said Soler, and I said Baez. Wrong. So we were all wrong.
But Baez should be subtracted point.
Yep.
So
Corey has no points.
Back to the 80s and 1980s cinema. He's like the Roy Hobbs that didn't get shot in the belly. Like Chris Bryant Chris Bryant is amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so
these two guys didn't want to even give him a chance to be amazing this season.
Okay, so where are we? Okay, so the next one is Cubs home runs off the new Jumbotron. Do we count Schwarber's because it was in the postseason? I say no.
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 I say no.
Okay. Good.
But I thought it was five. Yes. I thought it was five or six.
What? I have, okay.
No, I mean the over-under I thought was five or six.
I think we were just supposed to predict.
Okay.
So this is total home runs, not just Bryant. So total home runs. Andy, you said four. Kurt, we both said two, and I believe it was two.
I don't know if Corey should
keep
score.
I think we should count the postseason.
No.
It's drawn closer. If we're going with that, then it's Andy five, Kurt four, Corey four.
Okay.
the tight race.
Okay,
no,
so
I mean no total points predictions.
The next one, number of Cubs All-Stars. The over-under was at two. And Andy, you said three. You didn't name any players, specific players. I said two. I said Castro and Rizzo. And Kurt said two, Lester and one position player. And it ended up being two. And that those players would be Bryant and Rizzo.
So is it currently a tie right now?
So a push, does that count as a...
Yeah. I mean, though, yeah, we guessed it right on.
So we're all dead even at five.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the next one, number 10, number of Cubs closers who earned saves. The over-under was at four. Andy, you said under. I said four. I pushed. And Andy or Kurt, you said over, and the actual number was seven. There were seven Cubs players that Andy, you thought there was going to be three or under.
Well, how many closers were there? I mean, because it was Rondon.
Officially, this is what we discussed.
I thought there was three.
We discussed on there, like, should it be players that have the title of the closer or players who earn saves? And we decided that there could always be like the situation where someone's a closer, but other people get.
They're getting the day off.
Or it's like, oh no, you're our closer, but you're not going to close for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
because we're going to try this other.
Well,
it stuff.
Felt like Mott was a closer for a while,
right? Okay,
and so Rondon was a closer,
right? So Mott, Rondon, Wood, Grimm, Strope, Tommy Hunter, and James Russell all earned saves.
Like for me, I would say Mott, Rondon, and Strope. I'd say Mott, Rondon, and Strope are the real people named as closer.
I don't know.
I didn't know like how I didn't fully know how Joe operates, you know, when I made these predictions either.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a stupid prediction.
Well, so Kurt got that one.
Just Kurt. Me?
Yep.
Yes. Lead.
The next one, Cubs extra innings wins, and the over under from a listener was set at three, which was really low. And so we all guessed over, and they actually had 13. So
2 points for everyone.
Especially like the extra inning wins and the walk-off wins. It was super exciting to watch the Cubs.
Yeah, it was. I miss them.
Only 4 more months, Corey.
It's a fix that's hard to come by right now.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of the Arizona Fall League last night. The All-Star game. The Fall Stars game. Okay, next one is number of pitchers used in 2015. The over-under was 24, and all three of us picked under, and we thought that we kind of assumed that there would be more stability with the Cubs lineup, but not necessarily the case when it came to pitching. So, the over-under was 24, and it ended up being 29, so we were all three wrong.
Well, kind of feel like, especially like with Neil Ramirez, I felt like this guy has the stuff. This guy's amazing, but it feels like he might also have like the Kerry Wood syndrome where he can only pitch so many innings and then his shoulder's just blown up. You know, that guy would have been a godsend to have on the bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we just saw them get so many Fernando Rodney's and Trevor Cahill's and just some of those players that, why not?
I guess it was like a magic trick with the bullpen right now. I mean, yeah. as far as like they're spending so much time and energy with position players, they're spending so much time and energy with their pitchers, but they really haven't done anything with the bullpen. And they're like, well, just pick this guy up off the scrap heap, see what he can do. And they did the most amazing job that they can do. If they want to invest more this year, that's where they can invest. At least that's where I see.
Yeah, yeah. It was amazing, especially like towards the end of the season and in a playoff run to see like the guys like, oh, we're just gonna lean on Trevor Cahill and it's gonna freaking work.
It was awesome against the Cardinals.
Okay, the next one. Hector Rondon saves. The over under was 30. And that actually ended up being the total that he had. He had 30 saves. So, Andy and Kurt, you both said under. You said 27 or 28, and I said over. So
what is it if it's dead on?
I guess none of us get it. Over. Maybe over gets it.
Michael, judge.
I only say that because I had over. I don't think we should get it.
No, push is...
Yeah.
A push.
Okay, the next one was total IVMV iTunes reviews, which is a great opportunity to say, you know, we keep podcasting in the off season and we like being visible in iTunes, and so you can leave us iTunes reviews.
I don't know if you can think of other great free entertainment out there, Corey, but I mean the IVMV podcast.
Right. It's free.
Like Awesome 80s podcast also.
Right. Yeah. Write a review for them. And I think it would be great if you wrote a review without, if you've never listened to an episode, I think it would be awesome if you wrote a 5-star review for the Awesome 80s podcast without ever listening to it and act and talk, you know, get into details about what this podcast is like.
If you choose to write a movie that we haven't reviewed yet, we would probably review that. That's where we're at right now.
So people should submit their movie review
And the request the in request the same package in, through iTunes.
You can email us at iTunes.
We're just two dudes that hang out once a week, probably, for the most part. And if we have a good time, that's really all we care about. So.
Right, yeah. So we actually, this season, got 31 new reviews, which is pretty awesome. So thanks to everybody that left us reviews.
That's pretty awesome, Corey.
Andy, you guessed 18. I guessed 13. And Kurt, you guessed 23.
Point for me.
That's a bogus category, though.
I know, but I think somebody was just giving us an opportunity to like ask for reviews.
Was it just like a number that we picked?
We just had to pick a number.
I motion for throwing that one out.
Yeah.
So I get a point then.
No.
Well, I'm keeping score, so I just get a point. Let's move on.
But your iTunes reviews are very helpful.
I just subtracted a couple.
here's one of the...
I also pointed out the fact that Corey's like, we'll never get 13. And I'm like, we won't get that many new listeners in a season. Thanks for your optimism. Well,
especially with the Cubs being so good and everything. But I mean, if you're not a podcast producer, like you really do appreciate every single person that comes and gives you a review.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'll put a little question mark over that point. And then we'll move on to the next.
Can I
one.
Share why I really want reviews this offseason?
Okay.
Because at one point this season, actually at one point up until recently, if you search Chicago Cubs in iTunes.
Is it the Dead podcast?
No, it's not even that.
Okay.
It's the fact that we ranked ahead of the official Cubs podcast. And I thought that was hilarious. And now for some reason they're ahead of us and we need to get back in front of the official Cubs
podcast. Doesn't Lennon do one too?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
They technically do, but they don't actually do it.
Okay.
But the official Cubs one, I haven't listened to in like a year, but I thought it was not enjoyable.
Is that Carrie Muscat?
I think she's on it. I don't really know. I think it maybe kind of rotates. I really don't know because, like I said, I haven't listened to it in so long.
They're not old. They're not new media. They're old media, Corey.
Right, right.
So. Hopefully it's Mark Grody.
I don't know who it is, but that's why we need reviews because we need to get back in front of the Cubs. Okay. The next one is, and this is my last one before I hand it off to Michael here, is how many no hitters will Jake Arrieta take into the seventh inning or later? And the over under was set at 4. If you remember in 2014, he had like what, 3 or 4, I think, that he maybe took into late innings? You guys remember? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought one was against the Phillies.
I'm just anticipating the answer.
So this season, and I did my best to figure this out on a you know, limited time.
Look at his game log.
Well, yeah, but then you have to go into like to look like, okay, when did they get their hits? So what I did was I kind of like sorted by his innings pitched, and then I looked at the ones from seventh inning or later where he gave up like three or fewer hits and looked in there. So I believe that he had two. So he had the no-hitter against the Dodgers, and then at the very end of the season on September 27th, he pitched seven innings and gave up one hit, and that was against the Pirates.
Where,
and the hit was Polanco.
Where it was like the thank God game. We're like, okay, thank God he didn't get a no-hitter to get him out of there so we can save him
right.
for the playoffs.
That was the weird thing was that it was like you did, and he only threw 84 pitches in those seven innings, mm-hmm. and they pulled him, and it was like you didn't – yeah, we didn't really – I mean, you wanted it. Sure, it'd be amazing to
like,
see him get another no-hitter.
We need you to beat Pittsburgh and not get this no-hitter.
Right. And he was pitching against Pittsburgh. It's like, let's save it for like a week. So, yeah, that was – those were the only two that I found. And I could be wrong, but let's assume that I'm not. So the over-under was four. It doesn't really matter.
It was because, under four.
Right. So, and we all picked under. We did get into specifics. Andy, you nailed it. You said two. Or potentially nailed it. I said one, and Kurt, you said three. So we each get a point.
And just an asterisk above that, since one of us nailed it.
mm-hmm.
All right, it's all you, Michael.
So you would say this concludes your portion of the...
I'm sitting back now.
You wouldn't say that yours is skewed at all towards Corey.
Never.
Okay. number 16, positions played by Alcantara. Is it, Andy, is it Alcantara? Is that how we pronounce it?
That's Alcantara. My only response. That's my official response to that question.
Positions played by Alcantara, over or under 4.5?
And he was there for what?
Day? 2 days?
2 days.
I think he was there for 10 or 15 games, but he didn't ended up playing eight. Corey said one, two, three positions, depending on what Olt does.
Right.
But that's less than four.
I said one, two, or three.
He said he played second, center, or shortstop, depending on what Olt does. And then Kurt says under, I know at least under four, third, second, center, and probably one of the other outfield positions. And Andy says four, third, second, shortstop, and center. But that's under 4.5. He played eight games at second. Hold on. Two games at third. Eight games at second, two games at third. And he's at Iowa now. Is that where he's at officially, or where's he at?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did he not make it to the roster because of Herrera? Why was he not on the roster?
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly like when he got sent down. I think when he got sent down, it was like, oh, he's going to go down for a while. And then he just never.
It was more than a while. He's riding the bus, Corey.
Right. That's the funny thing is that.
Well, when they brought Russell up, there wasn't a whole lot of need.
Right.
For him in the infield. And then with Fowler playing center, they didn't really have a spot.
And they got a guy wearing a bucket for a hat.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just, it's kind of funny because, you know, like Alcantara, we were kind of excited about him. And then mm-hmm. this season showed us what real prospects are like.
But I mean,
no offense to Arizmendi. I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah. But I think if Alcantara eventually develops to become a pro ball player, I mean, he'd be somebody that you want off your bench to play, you know, second, third,
several
shortstop.
Positions. Yeah. Yeah.
And he will. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good utility guy.
Expect his one-star review of our podcast on the show.
But I mean,
we didn't specify number of star reviews. We just said reviews.
I mean, it'll counteract the other one, other reviews you get out there.
Right.
And this is the number one of my bullcrap reviews, bullcrap questions that Corey and you guys tend to put out there with like, there's no answers on the internet anywhere. I'm sure there's somewhere, but number of times Madden uses a pitcher as a pinch hitter, 19.5 over or under. Everyone said under.
You had to have been under.
It was under. I looked it up.
Corey looked it up. He's got the extended part of baseball prospectus, or what do you got? Baseball
the hidden internet.
The funny thing is I didn't realize I'm going to have to search it again because I thought it was number of players, not necessarily number of at bats. But let's say under, because it was
under.
It was only two players. It was only Hamill and Wood. I believe they were the only two pitchers that pinch hit.
Okay. So everyone says under, so everyone gets a point.
Either way, we either all got a point or none of us got a point. So
right. So let's give us all a point.
Yeah. for all of us to have a point there.
Number of players to hit the 25-man roster over under 39.5. Andy says under. Corey says under, but Kurt says over.
Kurt's like chase pumping and stuff.
It's 50 are on the roster.
There's no way they go under
especially,
that.
Especially, like, honestly, the position players were golden pretty much the whole year, except for Mike Holt and Steve Holt. Woo!
Pitchers drove that number up.
The pitchers, yeah, especially the bullpen guys, yeah.
Right.
Number of Edwin Jackson starts. 0. <I forgot. laughs>
The over-under was 0.
Yeah. Corey says 1, because, I mean, somebody's going to get hurt.
Right. One of That's what we thought.
Are going to get hurt. Kurt says 2. Somebody's got to get hurt. Andy says 3. Somebody has got to get hurt. So no points on that one. So his record with the Cubs for the season was 2-1 with the Cubs and 2-2 with the Braves. And he has, according to Baseball References, 0 starts for the season.
And if you guys remember, I believe the Cubs roughed him up pretty good when he was with the Braves.
Mm-hmm. Did you think they won a game off of him?
Yeah.
Those good times.
Yeah.
David Ross. Here we go. The higher David Ross home runs versus Edwin Jackson starts. Corey says there's going to be 2 home runs from David Ross. Kurt says 1 home run. Andy says 5 home runs.
I didn't say 5. I said 5. I thought it was 4.
You said 5.
You should be deducted 3 points for
he
that.
He hit a really far foul ball, though, guys.
Honestly,
remember
though,
there towards it might have been in the playoffs. He crushed a foul ball.
Honestly, his
and about 10 balls to the wall.
There were 3 catchers this year, but he did get pretty much the same amount of at bats that he did with Boston in 2014 when he hit 7 home runs.
He's 38.
But how many did?
But
he
it's
end
okay
up?
Because Andy likes his balls to the wall.
He's legitimately the 12th oldest guy in MLB. No big deal. No big deal.
So just to review that point, who got it?
And who was celebrating it quietly on camera the whole time?
Kurt got the point.
Wait, I said over? What was the?
It was 1.
Two. The over under was the 2. What? What was?
No, it was just number.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. I nailed it.
And then Kurt got the 1 home run, and he got 1 home run. David Ross.
Point.
Could have easily been eight if the wind had been blowing the right direction.
He did have a few warning track shots.
The wind in April is such a fickle bitch. Starling Castro's batting average over under 290.
Oh.
I think everyone said under.
Oh, good.
Kurt.
Probably because we expected his power to go up.
Probably. Kurt says 275 to 280. Andy says 283. And typical Corey fashion, he didn't give a specific number.
He likes to commit.
He's like,
nailed it. Right on the button.
Rizzo home runs over or under 30. Corey says under. Andy says under. Kurt says over, but he says 35. But I still think.
But I still got the point.
I still think Kurt should get the point. He ended up with 31, but Kurt says 35. But I still think Kurt should get the point.
Oh, yeah. It's just over and under. That's how we score this thing. Let me just give you a quick score update.
Yeah, yeah, please do, Kurt.
Andy and Corey at 10. Kurt at 15 if we count the whole review business. If we don't, I'm at 4.
So can we now like put to bed you saying that you're not good at this and like last year you were like, oh, I got lucky.
That was only the first year where I was bad at it and now I've dominated.
If this whole
and it is it's luck. Not over yet.
Let's, it is luck.
I don't want to jump too far ahead.
If this whole 9-to-5 thing for Kurt doesn't work out, you could always be like a gypsy on the road.
I basically live on
if your 9-to-5 doesn't work out, there's always gypsy.
Or there's FanDuel or DraftKings, which I've never heard of until this season, which apparently I need to be on.
Like the third greatest living player is not allowed in the Hall of Fame because of betting, and every single baseball game is planned. Like everything is betting and betting and betting.
What's this FanDuel thing you guys are talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think every point from now on should count for 5. Every question should count for 5.
Maybe you guys should point value certain questions next time.
Just 1 point per round.
That would add an interesting twist to it.
I'm just saying, maybe you should do that. I mean, that way people are still in. I mean, you guys lost.
How many? Basically, let's just say, how many are left? How many?
We should do like a Final Jeopardy.
A lot.
Where we have to like
9 more left, 8 more left.
All right, let's go.
What's Kurt's magic number right now?
Magic number is like 5.
Probably like 3. I mean, there's no way they could catch you if you get like 3. Just saying. leads the 2015 Cubs with home runs. Rizzo.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help us.
Bryant ended up with 26, and Fowler ended up with 17.
By the way, have you guys seen the projections for next year? The home run projections?
Haven't seen them
1,000.
Schwarber, Rizzo, and Bryant are all like around like 32 or something. I could be a little bit off, and I can't even. I think those were the Steamer projections. So if you're listening and that interests you, just Google Steamer.
I talk about it to everybody, and I talk about it to strangers
Google
too.
Steamer baseball. Don't just Google Steamer.
Cleveland. I was thinking with Bryant though, like I talk about it to everyone I know. I'm like, this is probably his worst year, 2015. Like every year after 2015 is going to be better and better and better.
I hope you're right.
I think so. I mean, especially see like with, I could see Schwarber having like a down kind of year, but Bryant, he's had his ups and downs. I could see Bryant adapting to the pitchers. Yeah.
I mean, Schwarber kind of had his little slump.
Yeah. And then he came through the playoffs.
Just saying, like, maybe they all got their sophomore slump out of the way. You know,
it's good to have extra baseball in the fall.
Right.
All upperclassmen. Let's go.
Montero WAR for 2015 over or under 3.5.
Oh man.
Everyone says under. Everyone says under.
He was like 1 or something, wasn't he?
His 1.8 WAR for 2015. Rizzo 6.2, Bryant was 5.9. But he still was like in the top. He was like the 5th position player and he was the top 10.
And this is offensive WAR strictly, right?
I think it was combination.
I think it might be just offensive.
Maybe it's just offensive. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. It's a new statistic. I'm not familiar with your newfangled.
I don't like WAR. So I don't.
What is it good for, really?
And this is another bullcrap stat that I think, Corey, you guys just kind of threw at me.
No, we can blame our listeners. They're the ones that came up with this bullcrap.
Just give me a headache. I'm like, oh, God. Thanks a lot, Austin. Thanks a lot. IVMB podcast. There's a number of times Lester throws to first base. This is just times he throws to first base.
You need me to look it up?
Can you look it up? Okay. I've got some other statistics right here I think we can throw out there. After he had a couple of hiccups along the way in the very beginning of the season in April, it wasn't until August 13, 2015 that he actually made an attempt to pick off a Brewers player, and he ended up throwing that ball away. But in September 16th, he actually picked off a player from first base. He ended up picking off 2 runners throughout the entire season. But on bunts, I'm looking at bunts right now. He was 4-for-4 on bunts, picked up and thrown to first successfully. And
that's not a pickoff.
But I'm just saying that Garza, career wise, he was 51%. I'm picking up a bunt and throwing it to first base. do you have the number of times Lester throws to first base?
I'm working on
okay.
it.
Okay. It's not like you can just be like, I'll just type it into Google and find it. Just type it into Google and find it, Corey. maybe we should.
But the one where he threw his entire glove, didn't he do that?
That was just.
Yeah. That was on a batted ball. Yeah. You can do that for a pickoff.
Yeah.
we were talking about bunts and throwing it first.
So your over and under ended up being 5. And Corey said, Andy says over, Kurt says under, Corey says over 13 times.
Oh, I think I got a point on this one and you two didn't. I don't think he threw 5 times.
We said over?
Yeah. This guy said under.
I know I saw this stat somewhere earlier, and now I can't figure out where I found it.
We might have to revisit this one.
Number of ejections.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Okay.
On August 13th, it was his first pickoff attempt since April.
and that's the one he threw away against the Brewers, and the guy ended up going to second.
Although in September, he did pick off a runner.
That's what I just said. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was neck deep in...
Well, it's statistics out there at the yin yang. Number of ejections for Joe Madden, 2.5. Kurt says over. Andy says over. Corey says under. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes, what?
5 ejections. April 17th, oh, May 6th, July 22nd, April, August 2nd, and September 19th.
I don't remember there being many.
What did Andy say?
Andy says over. So Andy and Kurt get a point. Corey says no point.
I think Corey's out on the magic
You're
number.
You're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Now I'm going to play spoiler.
Okay. You suck. So the dugout hot feet rookies. And this kind of upset me because especially like on every like 80s compilation of baseball bloopers video, there was hot feet in every single video. I'm like, who are these guys hosting a podcast about baseball?
I was a football follies kind of guy.
I was also a big fan of Magnum PI, and especially in the film Mr. Baseball, they do a hot feet portion of that film as well. So I'm not sure. Sometimes they put like something on people's shoes, and sometimes they just do the laces where they light people's shoes on fire. It seems like a definitely rookie situation. I think you guys brought it up, or someone else brought it up, because of all the rookies the Cubs are to be expecting.
If you had told me the hot feet thing, I would have thought it would be like when you were a kid and you pretended that your floor was like hot lava.
This is pro ball here, Corey.
The big leagues, Corey. This is really like the bone fire.
It's just batted balls. Everyone, there's white balls. They all have long legs and brains, Corey.
Okay.
Kurt says, hold on.
I don't think this one actually counts because we didn't know what it
was. Yeah, I don't think anyone knew. Dugout high feet rookies, 18.5 over, under. So I guess the age that I found for on the team, 26.9. And I think the only team in the majors that's younger than the Cubs right now is the Diamond Kings, 26.6. I'm thinking about my Don Ross baseball cards.
DraftKings?
Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks. 26.6.
Guys.
Oh, man.
This
Speedway Stout is amazing. 12% alcohol.
Are we talking about hot feet?
Speedway Stout. Yeah, well, I just want to talk about the rookies for a second.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it kind of felt like it was the hot feet was almost an extension of the rookies.
Gotcha.
Especially 7 dressed as a princess. Like, how many people were officially a rookie on this team this year?
Are you asking?
I'm asking you guys. What do you really remember? I mean, there were 7 people dressed as princesses.
Or let's see.
I mean, I wouldn't consider Baez still a rookie because he played all that stuff last year.
Soler, Russell,
Bryant, Carl Edwards Jr.
I guess
all 138 pounds of him.
Schwarber.
Mm-hmm. We're talking rookies.
Yeah, like who's officially a rookie this year?
I'd say those 4.
Yeah.
So they're the most likely to have their foot caught on fire.
Bryant.
I could see Bryant Jason Russell Mott doing that to Carl Edwards Jr.
Yeah. I mean,
during Starlin Castro's walk-up song.
As far as players that you wish could be come back as a coach next year, I think he'd be up there. Mott and Ross.
Does he seem like a smart guy?
He seems like a rah-rah kind of a guy.
He does. I bet he would make a good bullpen coach.
You think so?
Maybe not, because he'd be too goofy. Like, they'd be, like, calling him, and he would have accidentally left the phone off the hook. Did you guys see that happen this year, by the way?
No.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody, like, accidentally left the bullpen phone off the hook, and the dugout couldn't, like, call him, and they were, like, waving towels trying to get their attention down there.
Well, do you remember when they decided to just go all digital, and they had cell phones, or, like, cell phones at the bullpen? Well,
I remember that was supposedly going to happen, but I don't remember it happening.
We've got really one more question, and I think Kurt's probably the champion, but this one's more of just a general question that you guys had out there. Number of bandwagon jumpers.
We should be clear that all of these questions are from our listeners.
Yeah.
So if you have a problem with any of them, then you need to write an iTunes review giving us 5 stars. In criticizing.
I lost some Cardinal fans on the Facebook. I mean, are they real friends? I don't know. Especially
like they unfriended you?
They unfriended me.
You weren't even obnoxious.
I don't think I was obnoxious. Other friends, they bring me their baggage, be like, he's not my friend anymore. And I get other I'd wake up and there'd be like 3-4 texts from different friends, like, he's not even talking to me on Facebook anymore. I'm like, well, you shouldn't be an obnoxious Cardinal fan then. But there's a social psychology. That's what I went to university for. There's an idea that when the Native Americans in 1492, it's a real academic idea, when they first saw like the explorers come over from Europe, that they honestly could not see them. They didn't understand that they were ships. They didn't understand. And it feels like that's what's happening with a lot of Cardinal fans right now. Like, they honestly do not understand that the Cubs are better than them right now. Like, they honestly cannot comprehend that this is actually happening, that we don't suck anymore. Did you get that thing I sent you, Corey?
I don't know.
Well, there's these sweatshirts. They're selling sweatshirts that say, yes, Cubs, we don't suck anymore. Well, anyway, I've got these Cardinals.
I like that these Cardinals, like, they just cannot comprehend.
Honestly, like, their mind is exploding that they cannot comprehend that the Cubs are better than the Cardinals. I love it. I love it to death. Well, especially, like, since, like, 2009, 2010, the Cubs, they haven't really been trying. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, they're like, okay, we got to rebuild. And especially, like, from going from that point to now, and knowing that they're worse than we are, and they're nowhere near peaked yet.
Right.
And then it's like, you guys suck, dude. I mean, they don't suck, but I mean, if you're going to lose to the Cubs and lose your mind over this, poor Cardinal fans.
Buckle up.
Yeah, exactly. You're lucky to win 3 games next year. I'm just my predictions. Well, I mean, against the Cubs, that's what I'm saying.
And all three will come against the Reds. That's a shout out to you, Amazon review guy.
Regular season wins closest.
So this is our overall.
Overall regular season predictions. Regular season wins closest. Andy says 86. Kurt says 83. And Corey says 83, and then during the podcast, Kurt got mad at Corey because he said 83 because that's what he wanted. But during the first half of the season, the Cubs were 47-40. The second half, they're 50-25 overall, 97-65. So I think Andy gets a point on that one.
Yeah, Andy gets that point.
Probably several points.
You know what, Andy? I think I'll go ahead and give you 2.
That gives you third place. Good for you.
And Corey ends up with 12. And who's this Kurt guy? 18?
How many did Andy get?
15, if I gave him 2 for getting the closest on the... Actually, 14.
I think you should weight them differently next year.
Corey got 12, and this Kurt guy got 18 if we count the prediction, the Amazon or the review guy. If we count that, or
which we don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then just 17. So I only beat you by 3.
Huh.
Boom.
But the nice thing is I edit this episode.
Okay.
So we'll see how it turns out.
Congratulations to Corey.
He could make it sound like he won. Yeah.
Yeah, good job. Congratulations, Corey.
Congratulations to Corey for winning.
I'm not.
Kurt, congratulations. I think you did.
Good job, Kurt. Job.
Yeah, it's just, it's, yeah, I don't know. I just come to expect
you make,
it every year.
You make it look easy, man. You're the Tom Hanks of Tom, you know, yeah, this award.
I'll not try so hard next year.
I think maybe if you wait, I think you should weight this one, especially the wins one, a little differently. Like yeah. 5 to 10 points, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe come up with a different.
I gave Andy two.
Well, maybe come up with a different.
We should sort of standardize it, I think, to some degree. But
yeah,
I think there's one question that had a question mark. Was that the review one? There's one with an asterisk.
That was the review one, which and I'm not like, counting that one. So,
which was like 2 to 3 points for me on the asterisk.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and give Andy an extra point. So still behind by one.
I had some other.
I'm fairly comfortable with my cushion lead here. So
I had some other things I wanted to bring up. I'm sorry, I'm on the podcast. I'm going to bring them up. What do you think the best pickup for 2015, like the non-pitcher pickup, other than Madden? What do you think their best as far as position players? Who are their best pickups?
David Ross.
You know. I think it would, for me, I think it would kind of, I mean, I don't know. I guess it would have to be Lester. I guess.
Not non-position, like non-pitchers. I'm sorry. Just position players.
Oh, right. I think it would have to be the catchers.
I mean, especially like Ross and Montero, especially the first half. But I felt like the Cubs got really down before they played New York. And then they got brought back up again. And then they got really down until, and then they brought Schwarber up. And then they just got reborn again.
Right.
So I'd say Montero for the first part and then Schwarber. What do you guys think?
Oh, for call-ups too?
I mean for anyone who just got added to the team, yeah.
Oh, then I'm going to go with Bryant.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard not to if you're going to include call-ups, but.
So let's rule out call-ups.
Okay.
Like just signings or trades. So what, like your catchers, Dexter Fowler?
Yeah, I think Dexter was pretty big too. I mean, I might have to go with Dex.
I think it's awesome, especially Dexter. He kind of had a down year. I mean,
right.
I mean, and especially like if they would have kept him, I mean, if he would have played his regular season, like him and Montero, in theory, they both had a down year. Yeah. But I mean, the Cubs can be so much better, you know?
That's a nice thing about having a lineup that's as potent as this, is that you can have a guy or two that does have a little bit of a down year and it's not going to impact the offensive production. Like if, you know, 2 years ago, if Rizzo had a bad year, then the Cubs were like really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. It was Rizzo and Castro and then bench players.
Right. You needed those two guys to have a good season.
What do you think, Kurt?
Yep.
Okay. Well, who do you think is? I mean, especially like the second the Cubs got done playing, everything online was like, "Oh, who we're trading this? We're trading that." Who do you think are the untradeable people on this team?
Rizzo, Bryant.
I think those are the,
Russell.
Yeah, I think Rizzo, Bryant for sure. Probably Russell, but I mean. Just because of his defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, it's not like I want to see Schwarber traded away. It's not like I want to see Baez or anybody else. But, I mean, if the price is right, then, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I trust the front office to do what's right for this team, especially out of any other front office. What do you decide? Have you decided what your definition of success is for the next season?
Mm. Oh, we're already looking ahead to 2016.
Oh, man.
Wins in the NLCS?
if they can make it to Game 7 in NLCS, that'd be perfect for me.
Oh, that would hurt, though. I mean, if they didn't do it all next year, it would still hurt. It's just hard. I think this year was a good, for me, a redefining of success. Like, it was such a fun year, and they made the playoffs and everything was great, but it still hurts when they lose.
Yeah, I think, though, that, you know, we were kind of realistic this year. We predicted a 500 team, you know, like that's kind of where we defined success. We wanted them to be a little better than 500. We wanted them to, like, be able to at least sniff the playoffs. And I think for next year, like right now, I'm saying that and to get into the NLCS would be a successful year. I mean, I of course want them to win the World Series, but you know, I work with a Cardinals fan, and he said that that's kind of like
Corey. We all work with a Cardinals fan.
We did, around here, we do. But he says that like for him, he defines success by the NLCS and getting into the World Series. But like that, every year he wants them to get to the NLCS.
Well, it's like in 2007, 2008, they didn't get any wins, but in this year they won four games. And if they can win one or two games at NLCS next year, I'd be very happy, as long as they're better than the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's success. Next year is better than the Cardinals.
I think to me, success would be just making the playoffs, because you make the playoffs, you're in. And like we saw this year, anything can happen. You win one. If you're a wild card team, you win one game and you keep going. So
right.
To me, success is the playoffs. And then the playoffs are kind of like a different conversation. So if we're talking about regular season success, it's just playoffs.
When we win the World Series next year, are you guys still going to do a podcast?
No. I won't have a home to live in because it'll be burnt to the ground.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because your wife would have kicked you out.
Well, that's why I burned it down, because she kicked me out and then I lit it on fire.
Yes, we will still be doing a podcast. I would assume. I mean, unless Major League Baseball has something to say about it, then that might have.
So every single one of the members of the podcast predicted 83 wins or less for the Cubs this year. What are
or less?
Yeah,
or higher.
Or higher.
I picked 86.
I'm sorry. Andy picked 86. I'm sorry. What are your top two or three reasons why the Cubs did not get 86 wins or less?
Joe Madden?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And I think rookies? That... Right. And I think it's that, like, the rookies all performed. I mean, they weren't, like... Even the one, even like if you look at somebody like Russell, whose offensive numbers maybe weren't quite as like eye catching as Schwarber's or Bryant's, I still think as a whole the rookies played really well, and
I'd say a full month more of Chris Bryant than we expect, than at least two of three of us expected, was a big factor.
Extra point for Andy.
Oh, it still becomes up short of Kurt. I already knew where you were going with that.
Not enough. I would say like Joe Madden, maybe team chemistry.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too.
And the rookie performance. Those are my three.
And
I guess the I word is my biggest fear of the future seasons, but also maybe the ego situation, like. I don't want to point any fingers, but maybe Baez or Soler, like, especially with like all the baggage from Sammy and everything. Like, hopefully that doesn't come into it. And then the team aspect is focused on, especially with Joe Madden at the helm, like everything is team and not the individual.
Well, I think that I've said this before on the podcast that you've heard people talk about ego with like Javier Baez, and I don't think we've ever seen it. Andy and I had the opportunity to interview him. I didn't see it then. We got to spend time with him and talk with him. He was very nice, very polite. I didn't really like it. Kind of surprised me because up till that point, I was actually kind of intimidated to interview him because I had heard so much about his ego.
He's got a sweet tattoo.
He does have a nice tattoo. But I think that this, and granted, okay, so he was drafted under Jim Hendry, but I think that this front office has made an effort to draft quality players, you know,
high
character players,
team first kind of people.
Right. And so I don't think that there's a whole lot of that on this team. And if you look at, if we're talking about Baez, I think if there's a player that really could have hit rock bottom this year, with a lot of stuff in his life and having to go to Iowa, not making the team, go to Iowa, look like you're about to get called up, break a finger, stuck in Iowa, just come up at the end.
They have your ball glove in the majors. They're carrying it around with them. Yes,
they did. And then to get called up and just kind of be like a utility guy, I think he handled it really well. And so I can't say I know Javier Baez, you know, like, oh no, I guarantee that would not be an issue, but I would kind of surprise me if it was. And I think, you know, we saw some personality issues or concerns with Soler when he was in the minors. What was that with Daytona? But there hasn't really been anything since. So I just don't think, I don't know. I hope that's not an issue.
I don't think it will be, because I think just even one guy has like a little bit of arrogance to him. The rest of this team chemistry seems so positive that I think they'll keep kind of those outliers in check.
And if they can keep winning.
Yep.
They're having fun, you know.
That's the key. What is a team of this many young guys look like when they're struggling?
Right. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was like the keys to 2016 World Championship Chicago Cubs. Was a positive attitude, and also you keeping the meatheads in check, like the armchair managers and general managers, when you guys do the muscle flexes, especially like in the off season. I think that's fantastic. I think you guys need to keep doing the muscle flexes. I think that's the best thing in the HR world.
Hold on. Actually, I think I have some earlier in the week.
Corey's got some ready to go.
I have to go through I have to screenshot it. So I have to go through.
I'll move on to my next topic while you're looking through. In 2009, the Cubs had 83 wins, and that was the last time they had a winning season. They've had 5 losing seasons in a row up until this year. And I just want to thank you guys for creating this community, like through the bus trips and the iCubs stuff, and just everything going to Duffy's. And then creating the places where people can interconnect with each other on the website and find the game watches and stuff like that. Like at Duffy's, there's people this year, they're not going to be there next year, Corey.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, I mean, it matters that the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but I mean, it really matters that they had somebody to watch the game with them this year.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And it's the sense of community that's most important. And I feel like, especially in this technology age, that you've helped create this. You guys, all of you guys, have helped create this Cubs community. And I thank you so much.
Oh, well,
thank you guys.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. Well, I mean, like, I think that the three, like Andy and Kurt, I think you guys would agree. Like, and I think I've said this a couple times since the season ends, but. Has ended, but I think that like our fandom has been enhanced by all the people, you know, all of our listeners and everybody that interacts with us and stuff. I mean,
I was just kind of going to say that it's like, it's almost the same words coming back to people, because like without the people listening, it's just the three of us talking, which is awesome. That's what we did before. That's kind of why we started this whole thing. But since it has expanded to this, you know, greater community, it's made it all better for us as well. So I mean, it really is sort of a residual positivity back to everybody else too. So
yeah, can I break in with a muscle flex?
Okay, go with your. I mean, positive energy, positive energy, positive thoughts, and muscle flex.
Okay, I don't even know what this picture was. I think it was, I don't know. Oh, it was when they signed. Who the heck did they sign? I forget who they signed this
Austin
week.
Austin Jackson?
No. The pitcher. Was it a pitcher? The bullpen guy. They claimed off waivers.
Just recently.
Cook? Somebody. Who is that? I can't even remember. I think it was Cook. Is that right? I don't even know.
Just move
I can't
on.
Remember. It's driving me nuts. I can't remember. Okay, so here's what this was from Cubs Instagram after they announced it. And this person says, Lester needs to go. By the way, two is spelled T-O-O. Lester needs to go. He is a waste of a lot of money. He had big bats to back him up, and he still had a losing record. Lester needs to go. Too much money for too little pitching.
Oh, man.
It's perfect. Well, that'll solve it.
I think it's important for you to point out that everyone needs to keep a positive attitude throughout the internet worlds. You know,
I don't think I don't think our reach goes that far.
Exactly.
We can't get to all of them.
I think Cubs Instagram is beyond.
But I think it's important for you to point out the idiots out there, and right. that you shouldn't let them get you down.
Yeah,
like review guy.
I don't know. I just think it's really social media has really given. You know how like in life there's idiots around you.
Yeah, I work with 3 or 4 Cardinal fans during my day.
Right. And like social media gives them a platform to where as I realize how like hypocritical this is. Any idiot with a microphone can just act like they know everything.
Not me. I mean, no, not me.
Just give them a microphone and an RSS feed and suddenly they know it all.
The difference is how long you're willing to spout your idiocy. Right. For us, right. somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 years.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode. It was made possible by all of our Patreon supporters and the folks that support our podcast at the associate producer level are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. Michael, thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
Stay all smooth.
So again, where can people find you? And people, okay, let's you've done a lot of episodes, a lot of different movies. If you could say, you know what, this is where you need to start. Like, where would you tell Cubs fans that they need to start? Other than apparently this last one, you talk about the Cubs.
Well, we likened it to like a friend who was in a weird motorcycle accident. Like, because we were talking about like, because we didn't podcast for a while. Because me and my podcast partner Glenn, we both went to the last podcast. We went to the games in St. Louis, and we're like, I don't even want to talk to you, dude.
Right.
Like, I don't even want to talk to you. Like, why do we want to have a podcast? Because that's all we want to talk about is the Cubs. I would say probably our. We do a podcast about the Monster Squad, and I think that's probably one of our best ones, especially it's Halloween kind of oriented. We just had Halloween. We talked about the Monster Squad with Sean, the guy who played Sean from the Monster Squad. And I think, I would start out there.
Okay, Monster Squad. But they're all good. I really enjoy them.
Well, thank you for listening.
I think our listeners would too. So, again, Awesome 80s. TheAwesome80s.net, is that correct?
It's .net, fine, Corey.
So go check it out, and we will be back next week to talk about anything that happens with the Cubs. And until then, go Cubs.